Please be seated.
Why do people pick their noses?
Why does my dad not like to dance?
Why do siblings always get in fights?
How did God choose for Jesus to not die on the cross?
Am I ready to be baptized?
What's it going to be like in God's kingdom?
I hear it's going to be like silver and gold.
But what is the merchandise going to be like?
Are we going to actually see people? I know our souls are just going up to heaven, but how does that all work? That's my question.
Welcome all of you to Pleasant Valley on this first Sunday in the new year of 2016. We hope that the year started well for you and for yours. If you're like me, you're probably about up to here with football. I need to take a break for football for a while. I've been watching way too much. I was thinking that last night about 11 o'clock as I was watching something called the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. I thought, Chuck, you really need help. We are starting a new, brave new world today in terms of our Bible class structure. We're going to learning communities and following the first service. That will begin around 9:30-ish. If you're a little uncertain or unclear about where to go, it's very easy. There will be about four venues that you can go, and there will be seven different classes that will be going on. All of these are on an elective system. You're free to choose any of the classes that you would like. But the E-Wing will be one of those venues, the singles room, the lecture center, and the auditorium. So we hope that one of your resolutions for the coming year is to join us together in Bible study that promises to be a transformative time together. We also would like to remember in our prayers today and throughout the rest of the week our brother Kike Marrera. Kike was in a serious car accident the other day, and he is had surgery a couple of times now and continues to be in the hospital in Pine Bluff. And he's doing better, but still the situation's pretty serious. So please remember Kike and the Oliver family in your prayers, if you will. W.H. Auden wrote these words years ago. To ask the hard question is simple. As she lay dying, Gertrude Stein asked her friend, Alice B. Toklas, what is the answer? And when nothing was offered, Stein followed with, well, in that case, what is the question? Again, to ask the hard question is simple. Some people delight in posing philosophical questions for which answers seem unlikely. C.S. Lewis notes, can a mortal ask questions which God finds unanswerable? Quite easily, I should think. All nonsense questions are unanswerable. How many hours are there in a mile? Is yellow square or round? Probably half the questions we ask, half of our great theological and metaphysical problems are like that. You've probably known people who ask questions like, can God make a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? Well, I don't know. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. That's probably beyond our pay grade. When asked what God was doing before he created the world, Martin Luther replied, making switches for those who ask such questions. And still, everyone has questions. Everyone. And if you're here on this first Sunday of the new year, and you have a few questions that you would like to ask of God, you're in good company. Job, one of God's prized pupils, was in this category. Listen to what he says. Even today, My complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him, then I would go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No. He would not press charges against me. There an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job is saying something in plain language that amounts to this. I wish God would come down here, because I have a few things I would like to ask him. Well, pick a number and get in line, Job. We all feel that way from time to time. As we ponder the questions and the answers that are triggered by God's word, some good advice about how we might proceed is given by Frederick Buechner. And it involves listening more than it does asking. Buechner says, don't start looking in the Bible for the answers it gives. Start by listening for the questions it asks. We are much involved, all of us, with questions about things that matter a good deal today, but will be forgotten by this time tomorrow. The immediate wheres and whens and hows that face us daily at home and at work. But at the same time, we tend to lose track of the questions about things that matter always. Life and death questions about meaning, purpose, and value. To lose track of such deep questions is to risk losing track of who really we are in our own depths and where we are going. There is perhaps no stronger reason for reading the Bible than that somewhere among all those India paper pages, there awaits each reader, whoever he or she is, the one question which, though for years they may have been pretending not to hear it, is the central question of his or her own life. Did you hear that? One of the reasons for reading the Bible is that you're going to come across, sooner or later, a question that's going to hit you right where you live, and you're going to say, yes, I've been wondering that too. I've been wondering, why are things this way? Why doesn't God do this? Or why doesn't God do that? Why is there so much injustice in the world? Why is there so much pain? Why do things have to be so difficult in relationships? Why? As you go through the Bible, you're going to see these kinds of questions. Here are just a few to consider. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God came to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" You thought about that lately? Where are you in your life today? What is it that you have done? Has the conduct of your life brought you closer to God, or has it taken you further from Him? Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" You ever wondered, why do we have to be so concerned about others? Why can't we just take care of ourselves? God lays it out, saying you have responsibilities to others beyond yourself. The Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You ever thought that in your own life? Is God with me, or am I just on my own, left to fend for myself? In Psalm 22 and verse 1, a question that David asked and that Jesus asked himself centuries later, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? from the words of my groaning. Words that go to the very essence of the pain of the human soul. But then in a few verses later, we'll actually answer that question. He has not abandoned His Holy One or left Him to see decay. Is God out there? Yes, He is. Does God care? You better believe He does. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Maybe that's a question that resonates with you today. Maybe for the last year, maybe for the last several years, you've been trying to hide from God. You've been trying to go through the world all alone. And maybe it's not so much that you've been looking for God, but that God's been looking for you. Do you really think you can continue to hide from Him, the one who made all things? In Psalm 8, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? The more we know about the universe, the more we see it is more infinitely vast than we can even imagine. And when we discover just one more layer of complexity and immensity to it, it brings us back to this question: why would God care for us? I don't have a good answer for that, but I know that He does. And that says a lot about Him, and surely it says a little about us. To whom men will compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes on high and see. Who created these? We live at a time when an increasing number of men and women just assume that everything that is came about by accident. No rhyme, no reason, no purpose. God asks a question of all of us. Look around. How do you think all of this got here? Who created these? Matter created matter? Or was there something beyond it? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. At a time when so many are confused about how to live, seems pretty plain. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? And then He asked them, but who do you say that I am? As the world's 7 billion inhabitants ask the question, who is Jesus? There are all kinds of answers that are going to be given. But here's the one thing that we need to remember. We're going to be called before the Lord at that last day. There's only going to be one answer to that question that matters. The answer that you give. The answer that I give. No one can answer for you. You can't answer for me, nor I for you. Or your parents, your spouse, your children. So then, each of us will give an account of himself before God. Romans 14, 12. And someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? That question in Matthew 19 and 16 is one that continues to be asked today. We keep thinking, well, if I do this year, if I do that this year, then that'll mean that God and I are good, right? God's looking for me to just do enough good things that I can go to heaven. Friends, if that had been the case, then Jesus could have spared himself a lot of pain, a lot of humiliation, a lot of suffering. If it were in us to save ourselves, then Jesus could have stayed in heaven. But Jesus came to this earth to give his life as a ransom for a bunch of people who could not save themselves. So are doing good deeds important? Of course. Are doing good deeds going to save us? Not in a million years. We will be saved by the blood of the Lamb, and by that blood alone. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and yet loses his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? As we're on the precipice of another year, are there any changes that you need to make in your life? Or are you content to go in exactly the same direction at exactly the same gate that you've been traveling in the past? Maybe that's okay. But if you're not satisfied with that, if you seem to look at your life and see nothing except acquiring and accumulating and grasping and yearning, what's going to change in this coming year? And let's just suppose for a minute that you get these things that you're looking for. You get that raise. You get that promotion. You jump up in a different tax bracket. You're able to say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. After that, what then? Jesus says it very bluntly. He says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't change anything for your soul. You might get all these other things that you want, but is your heart right with God? That's a question to ask. And it's not one that enough people are asking these days. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Grace is the most powerful, active, operative principle in the world. But here's something about grace. There has to be the condition that we have to accept it. If we didn't, then that would mean universalism, that every single person who has lived and ever will live will be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Christ has died and made the gift of salvation free for all. But will all accept? Or will some take a pass? Question again comes to each of us. Will we take it or will we leave it? In Romans 8 and 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Friends, no matter what external circumstances you may be facing, none of those things can tear you away from the love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. When you hear the question that is your question, then you've already begun to hear much. Whether you can accept the Bible's answer or not, you have reached the point where you at least can begin to hear it. And friends, don't underestimate how important that is. How many times does Jesus say, before he speaks to someone, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? Are you ready to hear this year? Are you ready to hear what God is saying to you? Brothers and sisters, we all have questions, all of us, about God, Jesus, the church, the world, how we're supposed to live, what happens when we die. Why are there mosquitoes? Why is there Ohio State football? A lot of other things. Good questions all. Church has to be a place where you are free to ask any question you have. Has it always been that kind of place? Maybe sometimes yes, maybe sometimes no. But it needs to be a place where nothing is out of bounds. Over the course of 2016, we will ask the question why some 50 different times. All kinds of questions why. A number of people here at PV have given me questions they would like to see addressed. We're going to do our very best to do just that. James, the brother of Jesus and one of the leaders in the Jerusalem church, makes a powerful promise that has a direct application to our situation. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." Do you want to know more about God? Do you want to know God better and to become the person that he made you to be? Friends, there's a path to that. We can't do it by ourselves, but we can do it together. We can't do it alone, but with God's help, surely we can achieve. Because God makes this promise. Do you want to have this wisdom? Ask me. Ask, seek, and knock. That's what we're going to try to do this year. And we're not going to answer those questions why, just out of a prurient interest, like we've learned a lot, like we're trivial experts. That's not the purpose of this kind of knowledge. You don't have this kind of knowledge so you can sit back and cluck your tongue about how much you know. We have a knowledge of God and His Word for one reason only, so we can become more like His Son. And our lives can better pattern that perfect example that he left us some 2 millennia ago. I invite you to join us on this quest. It's not something that will let you down. Because friends, the time that we spend in prayer, in meditation, in study, will be richly rewarded by our Father, who sees what the desires of our hearts truly are. And maybe that's where we need to begin resolving to change in a new year, that we can really desire and hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because friends, in the final analysis, that's really what it's all about. We're glad you're here today. And if you're here and you really need to start the new year off by making a marked change in your life, by obeying the gospel through faith, repentance, and baptism, or by coming back to the Lord and rededicating yourself to His service, the new year begins by Christ's invitation ringing out. If you need to respond, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing together. Have you been?